Colossians chapter 2. No, I don't know where that thing's at. Colossians chapter 2. I was the last one with it. No doubt about that. Colossians chapter 2. Oh, I forgot that stool was back there. It about scared me to death. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23. We won't be too long here tonight. Just want to share a little bit of something with you about continuing in the faith. Continuing in the faith. We'll read verse 23, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. Thank you for the special music tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the children singing tonight. Also, we thank you, Lord, for that. And as your word is open, just ask you, Lord, to meet with us also during this time. And I ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say. I thank you, Lord, for this church, and I hope to be a help to them. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, we won't be too long tonight, but I want to hone in on something that I believe the Apostle Paul is warning the church here in Colossae about. There's a danger involved in being too sure of your next step. Being too sure of where you will be or won't be, what you will do and not do. If our surety is in Christ, then it's not misplaced. But if our surety is in our own strength and our own power, our own convictions, etc., then we aren't that sure at all. And we see in verse 23, if ye continue in the faith. So as we look at continuing in the faith, if is a huge word. If is a word that does not solidify anything. It's essentially up in the air what is being discussed. It means something is yet to be determined. An outcome is not yet. And Paul says, if ye continue in the faith. Now, I don't care who it is, from the pulpit to the last row, none of us can say 100% where we will be and what we will be doing a year from now. Why is that? Because we don't know what's going to happen by that point. I've seen good Christian people handle a trial the wrong way and no longer walk in the faith. It doesn't mean they're not saved, just means they're no longer walking according to the faith. Paul is talking to the church at Colossae here. Epaphras was a rock-solid Bible-preaching pastor. He was a persecuted pastor. Epaphras had bragged on this church and to the Apostle Paul. Epaphras had praised them in certain areas, their faithfulness to gather together, their faithfulness to Christ. They had love for the brethren. The Apostle Paul said that they loved in the Spirit, which is the highest form of love to be known. It is the way God loves. But yet Paul says to this group of people, if ye continue in the faith. So it doesn't matter who you are. It is a day-by-day choice, moment-by-moment choice to decide that you're going to remain in fellowship with God. If you don't, you'll leave the faith. Another key word in this passage is the word in. Paul says in the faith. Paul did not say if you continue knowing the faith or if you continue understanding the faith. Not if ye continue recognizing the faith or even if you continue teaching and preaching the faith. Why is that? Because you can know the faith but not be in the faith. Paul is talking here about being and living in the faith. Many people are not in church anymore, not in the Bible, not under a pastor anymore. They've not chosen to continue in the faith. So if ye continue in the faith is a powerful phrase here, especially when you consider who it's being spoken to, the Colossian church. And I invite you tonight, don't ever remove the word if from your life. I've said many a times, I worry about people who think they're safe in any area. I worry about those who think they're protected in any area. Why is that? Because we don't guard against those areas as much anymore. Do you remember when out in Facebook, I don't know if they had this anymore, but out in Facebook land back in 2020, there was, during COVID, people were marking themselves safe, saying they're safe. They've marked themselves safe. And a lot of believers have marked themselves safe from moral compromise, or safe from sin, or safe from the devil. Be careful saying you'll never do something or you're incapable of doing something. Or point your finger in the face of a transgressor and say, I would never. Acting as though we know our own hearts. The very heart that God says it is impossible for us to know. Spurgeon says this about the heart, it's long, but it's good. My heart is just as bad when no evil emanates from it as when it is all over vileness in its external developments. A volcano is ever a volcano, even when it sleeps, trust it not. A lion is a lion, even though it play like a kid. And a serpent is a serpent, even though you may stroke it while for a season it slumbers, there is still venom in its sting when its azure scales invite the eye. My heart, even though for an hour it may not have had an evil thought, is still evil. If it were possible that I could live for days without a single temptation from my own heart to sin, it would be still just as evil as it was before. And it is always either displaying its vileness or else preparing for another display. It is either loading its cannon to shoot against us, or else it is positively at warfare with us. You may rest assured that the heart is never other than it originally was. The evil nature is still evil. And when there is no blaze, it is heaping up the wood, wherewith it is to blaze another day. It is gathering up from my joys, from my devotions, from my holiness, and from all I do, some materials to attack me at some future period. The evil nature is only evil, and that continually. Without the slightest mitigation or element of good, the new nature must always wrestle and fight with it. And when the two natures are not wrestling and fighting, there's no truce between them. When they're not in conflict, still they are foes. We must not trust our heart at any time. Even when it speaks most fair, we must call it a liar. And when it pretends to the most good, still we must remember its nature, for it is evil, and that continually. Many people struggle with the idea of the heart being evil, of the heart containing evilness. The idea here is that our heart is not our friend. I know they've written song after song after song about it. Trust your heart, follow your heart, whatever, all the other stuff about the heart. Do what it says. No lies from hell. Our heart is against us. So we don't know what we would or wouldn't do, because everything we say and do comes from the place that we cannot know. As John Bradford was watching the man going to the gallows for his crimes, he said, but by the grace of God goes John Bradford. It was the Apostle Paul who wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Spurgeon knew it. John Bradford knew it. The Apostle Paul knew it. And if we resemble Christ, even in the slightest, it has everything to do with God's grace. And the Apostle Paul was trying to convey this concept to a good church. Not a bad church. A good church. Sometimes good people, sanctified people, I'm talking set apart people, need to be reminded that they can fall. And I believe we have a good church here. But there's something else I know from the pulpit to the last row, is we're all susceptible to no longer walking in the faith. And whatever measure we do walk in the faith, it is only by God's grace. We're walking on dangerous ground whenever we do something good or we say something good. And then we start thinking that we are good. There's a difference in doing some good things and being good. There's a big difference. We all do some good things. The worst man in the world does some good things. Worst man in the world, whoever that could be, I don't know. God would know. But whoever that would be still does some good things. Make him good. Pride goeth before a fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. Every man or woman that's ever fallen fell as a result of pride. Don't ever remove the word or the phrase, if ye continue in the faith, from your life. Paul says to this good church, good people, overall, great reputation, that was known far and wide. Their faith was spoken of around the world. Now imagine the humility from this church. We don't see no outcry. We don't see no, do you know who we are? We don't see that. Do you know who we are? If ye continue in the faith, do you know who I am? Do you know who we are? We don't see that. If ye continue in the faith. Now again, this was a church that faith was spoken of around the world. If we're to continue in the faith, some things need to take place, and two of those are being grounded and settled. See in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. It says, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. You know, we can live as the term practical atheism, I think, is the term. That's where you believe there is a God, but you live your life as if there isn't one. And there are believers who believe in God. I believe they're saved. But at times, they can live their life not according to the scriptures and not according to the word. There was a time in my life I was saved, but I lived my life in defiance to God and in defiance of his word. I lived my life as though God had no real meaning to me, as if the word carried no real weight with me. I lived my life that way. So some things need to take place if we're going to continue in the faith. So again, grounded. It means to fix or set as on a foundation. Cause or reason or principle. As arguments grounded on reason. Faith grounded on scriptural evidence. And then we see the word settled. It means placed, established, determined. So notice this phrase, which ye heard. Paul is saying, essentially, you've heard this. This isn't anything that you don't know. What I'm saying to you is not foreign. This faith has been preached on. It's been taught on. It's been expounded upon. It's been written about. But how many of you can testify to the fact that just because you hear something over and over doesn't make it any easier to apply? That only makes it easier to remember. It makes it easier to recite. It makes it easier to communicate. But it doesn't always make it easy to apply. I know people who can recite the faith to you inside and out, up and down and backwards any day of the week, but live very little of it. Application is a whole different story. Taking the truth and allowing it to change you is different than just knowing the truth. We should all allow truth to change us rather than just know truth. You know what my wife and I try to teach our boys? We want to teach them to not only know the faith, but to apply the faith. We want to teach them to not only be able to share the faith, but apply the faith. We don't want them to just know it. We desire for them to live it. And I want to remind everyone here tonight that if you are to continue in the faith, you got to plant your heels on some things. You got to become grounded on some things. You got to become settled on some things. You got to become grounded on some things pertaining to our faith and being planted in the faith. Then this faith produces a work within you that bears fruit. You know, we struggle with fruit bearing at times because we struggle at the root. I'd mentioned before how Curtis Hudson wrote a great piece once entitled, he preached on it and wrote on it, about roots and fruits. And he used to say, ain't got the fruit because you ain't got the root. And he'd say, I never went to Bible college or anything like that, so I don't know English too good, is what he'd say, something along those lines. Then he'd say, ain't got the fruit, because you ain't got the root. If you got the root, you will have the fruit. You will. No root, you're not going to have any fruit. I've used this illustration before. If an orange tree is producing oranges, but it's producing apples, something's wrong. You can replace the orange with an apple by rigging it up, and it might look okay for a couple of days, but it's going to start losing its color. Then it's going to start losing more color. And then it's going to be rot. Give people time. Give people time that look good at first. This is a good stuff. This is something good to think about even in life when you're dealing with people. Because some people look real good at first. Give it time and see if their colors start changing. Give it time and see if they don't start rotting. Give it time. An orange will come back. That apple is going to rot away. Some of us also, in the same breath, we may be ripping on somebody about their smoking or their language or they lie, but they're not even saved. You might could convince them to straighten up, but if they're not producing the fruit, the change won't last. Same goes with new Christians. Once mature Christians that are now backslidden, the root of their problem is they need greater fellowship with Christ. They need restored fellowship with Christ. They're not producing the right fruit because they're not settled and grounded in the right root, which is Jesus Christ. And I ask you tonight, if those of you here tonight, and myself included, will continue in the faith, it'll be because we're settled and we're grounded in Christ. It's the only way. You walk away from Christ in your heart. When we looked at this with the prodigal last week, you walk away from Christ in your heart before you walk away for everybody to see. That's just a matter of fact. I witnessed it in my own life. I walked away from Christ. My actions then displayed that for everybody to see. And then when my heart turned back to Christ in repentance, then my actions begin to change for everybody to see. If you do not continue, it will trace back to your roots. And if you do continue, it will trace back to your roots. And it'll be because you chose, if you don't continue, it'll be because you chose to live life in your own strength and in your own power. And we can't do that. We can't do that. I'd be your pastor no time at all if I was relying on my own strength and my own power. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of things in this world. And I made a commitment to God from the get-go. I said, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. But I'm not going without you. I'm not going without you. I can't. I cannot do it. I'm not polished enough. I'm not well-rounded enough. I'm not connected enough. I don't have the personality enough. I ain't got the charm enough. I ain't got all my fingers and toes. I can gain a list tonight and give to you on how I could not make it on my own. I knew starting out right off the bat, I said, I'm either at a disadvantage or I got a great advantage here. And I'm still yet not quite got it all figured out. I just know that it's something I cannot do. The Lord's going to have to do it. The Lord's going to have to do it through me. The Lord's going to have to lead me. The Lord's going to have to guide me. The Lord's going to have to lay out the path in front of me. He's going to have to give me the words to say. Introverts aren't good at coming up with words. Somebody's almost got to feed it to them. So it makes no sense to me. And there are certain things that we just got to get settled on. If we're going to continue, it's going to be because of God. And when we see how dark this world is, and I tell you, just about every other month or two or three, there's another pastor that I know of or that I know who's fallen. There are other believers that I know of. And you hear headlines of Christian school teachers and Christian principals, Christian schools, Bible college professors and teachers and presidents that are fallen. Different people that fill seats in the pews, deacons, trustees, Sunday school teachers, musicians that are fallen. Out of church, walking away from the faith. And again, I'm not going to say they're not saved. Some people get hurt. Some people get hurt and they walk away. And there's a lot that can be said on this. But there's enough out there for us to be reminded of who we have to stay close to. And we got to stay close to the Lord because we're surrounded. We are surrounded by darkness. We're surrounded by it. And I'm reminded all the time that we are surrounded by darkness. And when we would have a defeatist mentality, I'm reminded of General Chesty Puller back in Vietnam. Somebody in the Army came up and told him, he's like, hey, General, we're surrounded. And he says, well, that simplifies the problem. And if you think about it, it does. At least you know where the enemy's at. I tell people all the time, you can't witness to the wrong person. We're surrounded by darkness. You can't pass out a tract to the wrong person. We are surrounded by darkness. You go to the restaurant, you're surrounded by darkness. You go to the store, you're surrounded by darkness. Wherever you go, you are surrounded by darkness. It's not hard to find somebody who's in the family of Satan that needs to be adopted into the family of Jesus Christ. It's not that hard. We are surrounded, but that does simplify the problem. It truly does. It does make our job easier. Truly does. I'm thankful for the one that trusted Christ this morning. Charlie invited him. Miss Sheila was witnessing to him. He and his wife, and then they called me and I was the one that prayed with them. But they did the work. They invited him. Miss Sheila witnessing to him. Thank the Lord for that. That's a blessing. He's getting baptized on Sunday morning of our revival meeting. I praise the Lord for that. That is a blessing. We need more. We need more people come to know Christ. We want to have an impact in this community, and we want to see it. And like I said, you can't witness to the wrong person. You cannot. Not everybody's going to trust in the Lord. Not everybody's going to trust in Christ. And there's a whole host of reasons why not everybody will. We won't get into all those theological reasons tonight, but there are some. Tonight, and why not everybody will trust upon Jesus Christ. So again tonight, if ye continue in the faith, and again, we're going to have to be grounded, we're going to have to be settled, and we're going to have to not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. It says, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for your word tonight.